Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Ooh. This is where the fun begins, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. The World Cup qualifiers are back, and we've got AFCON quarterfinals this weekend. It's Friday, 28th of January. I'm Marcus Spaller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm solicitor Tawny Henman.
Hi, everybody. That was, of course, a great gag from Pete Donaldson.
Thanks, mate. Wrote it myself. Didn't find it in the running order.
Uh-huh.
Something that's funny to replace my name with Tawny Henman, Tim Henman's dad. Why is everyone obsessed with Tim Henman's dad now of all times?
I'll tell you why, and I'll tell our listeners why.
Right.
For those assembled in the UK and around the world.
Yes.
Marcus didn't... It was amazing because last week... I said to Marcus, Marcus, do you know that Tim Henman's dad really looks like George W. Bush?
In certain photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, don't undermine it. And I showed him and he cracked up and he loved it. And then we found that it was called Tawny Henman, which made us laugh even more for some reason.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of stayed in the
oeuvre
for a bit.
Right, so okay.
If you listen to this and you're on your way into work or wearing from work and you've got your phone in front of you, just type in Tim Henman's dad into Google Images.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy
it.
What you're
yeah,
seeing.
You enjoy it. Because he's frequently shot in, like, sitting down at Wimbledon. It kind of looks like it's a presidential address or something.
Yeah. He really looks like an English aristocratic George W. Bush.
Yeah. If you're listening to the Football Ramble for the first time, welcome.
Yeah.
You're very, very welcome.
And what Marcus is doing is the opposite to what he was doing this time last week, where he was on the floor in tears. Yeah. How funny it was.
Trying to be professional.
And now he's trying to bring it back.
I'm trying to bring it back, baby.
Well, you're not going to do it on mine and Pete's watch.
No. Oh, man. What glorious watch is that?
Because at the moment, people are listening to this going, how are they going to feel 45 minutes here? Because there's no Prem this weekend.
There's no Barclays. I couldn't believe it. I thought, slackers. Absolute slackers.
Oh, we've got too many games to play. Play one now, then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Get one out of the way now. Come on.
I honestly, hand on heart, don't think that there's enough football played. There are a few days where nothing happens.
What they could do in the Premier League is they could all agree for, say, so you know, like you get double game weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So there'll be games game next week. Want, yeah. But what they could do is everyone could agree and promise and shake hands to not try as hard, to not play with as much intensity.
Yeah.
So they say, well, you can all play against each other, say Newcastle against Burnley, but I know you're both fighting against relegation, it's important, but you've got to promise to only try 70%.
Well, we want to keep the integrity of the competition to play these games, so only try 70%.
And Newcastle will say, business as usual.
Well, Newcastle are playing a friendly against Al Ittihad today.
Oh, so they have
untelevised, thanks to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because they got so angry.
Is that a Saudi club?
That's in Jeddah, yes, I think.
It's funny how separate they are. They've not gone to Dubai, have they?
No, but it's
Let's
funny,
be honest.
The reason I was asking is because it's funny how separate they've been proven to be from the Saudi regime. Here we are.
Well, here we are. Well, the good news is...
Are you looking at me on your Newcastle United there?
You're involved.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You had your chance to save them. The good news is, though, ladies and gentlemen, that some Premier League players have taken matters into their own hands, of course, because there's no Premier League action, and they've gone and played for their countries. Mm. And we're going to start with Alisson Becker.
Oh, yeah.
He's a lot more South American when he's playing for his national team. It's proper,
He just goes native again.
Gangbusters, kick in, punch in.
Yeah, the whole works. I mean, Brazil drew one all.
Double dragon.
Yeah, indeed. The Brazil drew with the Ecuador. The Gambia weren't involved.
Yeah, you've been told off so many times about the Gambia.
more on the Gambia later.
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, I should say so.
Yeah.
But yes, Brazil drew away in Ecuador, one all in quite an eventful South American World Cup qualifier. Brazil are already through. They're there. They are there. They extended their unbeaten run in World Cup qualifiers to 31 matches, with all of those games not losing a game. Hence, it's an unbeaten run. They matched their own South American record, which they set from 1954 to 1993. And I thought, that's an awful long time, isn't it?
That's worthy of the stat, I think.
And you thought, finally, they might just about be living up to their potential on the world stage.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, they've won 11 out of their 14 qualifiers.
Yeah, up to 93. And of course, they won it in 94.
They did. Who could forget that?
Certainly not me and Dunga.
Bobby Baggio.
Bobby Baggio.
He would like to forget
it. He would like to forget it, wouldn't he?
Well, my goodness. But yeah, but the game will really be remembered for the red cards and the overturned red cards. Ecuador had a man sent off, their goalkeeper Alexander Dominguez. He was sent off in the 15 minute for a karate kick on Brazilian forward Cunha.
Great stuff.
I mean, that was a red card, I think we can all agree on with that. You can't do that 15th minute.
Yeah.
Early doors, and then
The thing I don't like about that is he should have had enough time to settle down there. First minute, he's pumped up.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's regrettable. It's the old Kevin Nolan in the West Ham Millwall game that time. You know, play the game, not the occasion.
Yeah.
By the 15th minute, you should be settled in.
Yeah, that's right.
For a karate kick.
Had he had a touch? Presumably, he would have had a touch by that point.
Or maybe he hadn't. Maybe he was quite eager to get one. But Emerson Royal, the Spurs player, of course, he did the honourable thing, thinking, has that ruined the spectacle for the fans?
Even up.
So, 5 minutes later, second yellow. Within 20 minutes, two yellows. So he kicked a guy on the ball, so it was all going off.
I saw that. He kicked the guy on the
ball. We're already qualified. What is this?
Kicked a guy in the balls while on a yellow card.
I know.
Yeah.
How's your balls control?
Great stuff.
But then Alisson thought, okay, lads, you've got to be a bit more crafty.
I know. Alisson thought, what's going on off the pitch? I mean, it's like I want to be part of it. People are desperate to go. What's going on in the stand?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to get me some guinea pig. I'm getting off the pitch here. You know?
Alisson's pulled his phone out of his shorts. Quick look at Instagram Live. Hang on.
Yes.
I got a cake.
Someone's brought a keg.
Yeah.
I know. Well, he was sent off twice, but VAR overturned both.
Yeah.
Incredibly.
And I think he said to the VAR official, I don't think you understand what I'm trying to do here.
Third time lucky.
But what do you think, Peter? The first one, he cleanly clears the ball away.
First one, I don't necessarily think he needs to extend the lower part of his leg quite so high. Well, he's already kicked the ball.
He kicks the ball away and the on-running striker thinks, all right, that's the end of that. And then his foot comes crashing down on him.
Yeah. Like a guillotine.
Which is quite a move.
Spectacular.
Spectacularly good. Mm. Can I put something out there?
Yes.
And I'd love our listeners to get involved with this.
Yep.
I think that if you take into account Alisson's height, he's a very tall man.
Very tall.
He is, I think, 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
If I think that's the highest a foot has gone in football history. I think if you can find video evidence of a higher foot than that in the whole of football history, I'd bloody love to see it.
I'm just trying to think of the battle of, was it Santiago, Chile in Italy, 62?
Crouchy's done some overhead kicks and stuff, hasn't he?
What I would like to do is actually say, I'm not counting anyone who does a somersault celebration.
No.
Okay.
It's got to be in the game itself. Make your representations for football, foots being higher than that during play.
There was a fly kick in that famous Italy-Chile game in 62.
Yeah, but it wasn't that high. His foot is about...
Well, the average height was a bit smaller, but it's not like
But Alisson's foot, I think, is a good 18 inches above the guy's head at one point.
I see what you mean.
It comes down almost like an axe kick.
Yeah, it does.
There's no need for him to do it. I think a yellow was fair. It was originally a red and it got overturned to a yellow. I think that was fair. The second one, he basically punches a man in the head. And the excuse that the ball is in the same area doesn't count.
That kick, and this is the second time in this season I've mentioned Chung Lee. I don't know which direction football's going in, but I like it.
Right.
But it was Chung Lee-esque, that kick. And the punch was maybe...
What move are you talking about? Chung Lee move are you talking about? She was very much... Spinning bird kick was quite low.
Uh-huh. Upside sort of, down, like the famously. Kick things.
Yeah.
She did a lot of moves. She had a lot of moves, though. She had a lot of moves.
Okay. Well, the second one was a bit more. Was it Balrog? Was he the boxer?
yeah. Okay. I don't think you can punch people in the head, even if the ball's in the same area.
Well, he got the ball first.
Mm.
But it's basically the same move. It's like, I've worked this out. I can get the ball first, cleanly.
Yeah, and then there's my space.
And then I've got about 3 seconds to do what the hell I want.
The thing is,
I can before the automatic lock-in.
Before the VAR.
Get the crystal.
Maybe it's VAR.
The crystal's inside his head.
The crystal was in the changing room.
Has VAR got a blind spot?
Yeah.
If you do something and then immediately, like you've got that sort of, it's only for certain frames perhaps.
The reason it happened is because if you watch the replay, Alisson hesitates a couple of times before he decides what he wants to do.
He does,
and then he thinks, it's all right, I can use my hands.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ball them into fists.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be able to do that, is what I'm saying.
You could sort of just sort of waft it away, couldn't you? Just go, oh, get off.
There was one, there was one, I think it was early this season, might have been last season, and I think it was Hugo Lloris, and he punched someone clean in the head. And there was a debate on Twitter about, well, he's got to go for the ball. It's like, meh.
But that is the equivalent, isn't it? If a player gets the ball and then studs onto an opponent's ankle or something.
Yeah, so if you punch a player, you should be...
Same principle.
The thing with the foot coming down, I'm a bit like, okay.
I just don't think he needed to follow through quite so much. He knew what he was doing. Look, he was well within his rights to not get sent off for that, but I think he also knew what he was doing with the first one. He's like, I'm probably going to hurt someone here. Good.
He got away with it.
I think you should have the option as a keeper. I think the referee should come around before the game and say, are you going to be intending to catch the ball or punch the ball today? And you have to choose.
Yeah.
And if you say punch, you get given massive boxing gloves. And you have to wear them all game.
Yeah.
It's to protect people.
Yeah.
If you promise you're going to catch it,
you can
wear normal gloves.
Right, okay.
Yeah. There we are. But if Ecuador can clinch that third automatic qualifying spot, then the last place looks like it'd be between Uruguay, who are on 19, Colombia and Peru are both on 17 with a game in hand on Uruguay, and then Chile with 16, who don't have a game in hand. So it's funny, actually, with South American qualifying, because you think to yourself, you know, what is it? Was it 12 teams who are, excuse me, in the qualifying, and they get sort of 4.5 places?
It's 10. It's 10 teams.
Sorry, 10 teams. Yeah, 4.5 places is how it's said. And you think, oh, it'd be nice to see Ecuador, but then you look at the teams that could miss out. You know, we enjoyed Peru in Russia, of course, with their fan base.
Chile are in the mix, though.
They are, but I mean, yeah, they lost to Argentina 2-1 with Blackburn's...
Diaz. It's a great finish as well. That ball was in the air for a long time.
It was a lovely goal. But Argentina, it was a good win for them away in Chile, because apparently the hotel they were staying in before the game, their water kept being cut off, and there was a siren which was turned on every half an hour in the hotel.
Funny that coincidence, isn't it?
That is what I love about that, though, is it's exactly the kind of stuff that Argentina would do to people. Now, it doesn't mean it's right if it's done to you, but they are the classic example of give out absolutely everything you can, but you cannot even take a hint. You know what I mean?
No, but I think you saying that you don't think it's right.
Yeah.
Pete and I have got the benefit of actually being able to see your face as you said that.
Yes.
Which very much said to me, for the listener's benefit, you do think it's right. You are very happy about it.
I just think is that this is you know, you play with fire.
My fear for Chile.
You're going to get Chile.
My fear for Chile is that I'd love to see Chile there. They're always, in my mind, always seem to be very entertaining.
But at the expense of who? Uruguay, Colombia, Peru?
Well, I don't think they will qualify for Chile because they've got to go away to Brazil and they've got to play... who are they playing at home again? Oh, they're playing Uruguay at home.
Uruguay.
And then they go to Bolivia and the altitude.
You're not just
playing Bolivia, you're playing the altitude.
Yeah, well, but I mean, Bolivia themselves have a slight chance, but I wouldn't have thought it would happen.
Bolivia, again, in their qualifying this time, haven't won a single away game.
No.
Which would probably tell you it tells its own story.
It does, yeah.
Yes.
My goodness, yeah. Elsewhere, it's not just South America who had qualifiers going on. We take a look around the world. Peter, your Japan beat China 2-0 to take a step closer to World Cup qualification. That's exciting, isn't it?
It is. Less so for the Chinese, you'd imagine that.
Less so for the Chinese. They're 4 points behind Saudi Arabia and a point ahead of Australia, who are in third. The top two go through in the groups with the third place teams then going into a playoff and then having to go through a bit of a rigmarole there. Mm. So you want to finish in the top two, of course. But the reason why they're not top is because Saudi Arabia are. And the reason why Saudi Arabia are top is because they have Harvey Renard in charge.
Oh, for crying out loud, follow that man on Twitter. It's just beautiful.
Good. It is just the epitome of beautiful.
How do you feel about him taking the Saudi dollar? People are having a pop at Newcastle for doing that.
Well, what about white shirt?
Look, someone's going to take it. At least make it a good man. You know?
Make it a good man. Yeah.
Absolutely right. Has he not got enough good points in the bank, as well as money, but good points in the bank with what he did at Zambia? Come on. And then eventually getting that Ivory Coast side to win the African
Cup. So you
Cup
can do
well.
What you want as long as you've done some good things in the past.
Yeah, I mean, look at Harrison Ford in the latest...
It's like Rich the other day said, I think lying is bad, but lying to start a relationship you want to be a part of is good.
look at Harrison Ford with the previous Indiana Jones films. Then they did that recent one with Ray Winston. You kind of think to yourself, you've got enough in the bank for us to forgive you for this.
Is it Ray's fault?
Yeah. I don't think it's Ray's fault.
They shouldn't have given Ray Winston the job as Indiana Jones.
But he's going to take
the
it.
Where's
my bloody whip?
India. He kept calling him Jonesy.
Oh, this door's going to close. You've got to get my hat out.
Yeah.
Sorry, he wasn't playing Indiana Jones.
That's what I mean. That was my point.
Yeah.
Who's this little fella?
Can we,
snakes. Oh, I bloody hate snakes. I do my fucking loafing.
Give me that skull, you son.
Fucking naughty cunts. These snakes.
Marcus, can
you're mugging me right off.
Can we touch on...
I like eels jellied, not snakes.
See what you've done now?
Yeah.
Right, Peter.
Can we touch on China's wonderful march of the World Cup?
We can. This is Diamond Dyke Menu. Pete has dragged it back to football.
Yeah, I'm dragging it back to the football.
I just want to say, is that the film, quickly before you move on to China, is that the film where Indiana Jones hides in the fridge to hide from the nuclear?
Yeah,
that's
fine.
It's fine. Okay,
yeah,
right. It is, China. Yeah.
Horrible. Guess how many China put in charge Li Xiaoping, the 2002 player, last time China were at the World Cup, in charge of the team. Guess how many players he called up to these fixtures?
Oh, it was loads, wasn't it?
52.
Yeah. That man wants options. Do you remember, was it Bolivia?
So many options. There's not enough pitches for them to fucking train on.
Amazing.
52 players.
The Bolivian guy, he basically had trials for the national team. He called up like 93 players.
Yeah. The phone call was amazing. Oh. If you think you're on the receiving end of a phone call like that. From
that's
the
a group
manager,
WhatsApp, isn't it? That's a group WhatsApp.
It just feels like, if that's your debut squad, this is a massive moment for me and my family. Looking forward to it. You know, can't wait to get amongst the lads. You know, get there and there's like 4 million people. Oh, well, what's going on?
I know there's a lot of people in China.
Yeah.
But to be quite frank, most of the China squad is naturalised Brazilian citizens anyway. Yeah. So, some of which have gone back to renouncing their Chinese citizenship and fucked off again, which is enjoyable.
I hear they've got a petition to try and get B internationals back. They've just got, to get everybody to involved.
Chris Sutton's refusing. Yeah. Would you? I wish he'd refuse to do all the fucking other work he's on.
Oi.
He's everywhere. Steady.
Get him back in Russia. He loved being there.
I'd be bloody happy for them to be in Russia.
We've talked about Pete's Japan. We want to talk about your US team.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
They beat El Salvador 1-0. Fulham's Anthony Robinson got the goal. A big goal. They're on track to qualify. And so are Canada, who are top of the CONCACAF qualifying group. And they're unbeaten thus far. They play the United States of America. The United Country of Canada plays the United States of America this Sunday. How about that? Canada could be back at the World Cup. Their only time at the World Cup was 1986.
Their time is now. All the Canadian fans are massively into the squad and they've
got a lot of talent in there.
They have.
They've got a lot of talent in there, everybody. My goodness.
I get in trouble because I once referred to Canada as America's hat.
Yeah.
As a joke. Mm-hmm. And people didn't take it very well.
Mm-hmm. What did you refer to Mexico as?
America's beard.
Yeah.
Trousers.
The whole thing's
South
like
America's
a face.
Trousers.
And the whole thing's like a face.
Yeah.
It's like a face.
So the Caribbean is America's pipe.
America's goatee.
Yeah, America's goatee. Yeah.
And they're in the mix as well.
They are. Well, you'd think that Mexico would be in the mix. I mean, there's no real excuse for not to be right. No,
they love the World Cup, don't they?
Yeah, but I mean, interestingly, I think that's a good group because you have 3.5 teams there,
yeah,
and one of them goes into an intercontinental or whatever they call it now, interconfederation playoff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
like wrestling belts.
Yeah, it is a bit. And currently that's Panama. And we've seen Panama before.
We have
a
seen
team
Panama.
That punches above their weight.
Yeah,
not just in the financial industry, in football as well.
Took a lot of blow. They were hit for six when they played us. Weren't they?
They were. Yeah. You toy. You think that would put them off?
You're a disgrace.
Hey, come on.
Yeah,
come on then.
Don't have that for the World Cup. That I'm sure
no,
we can
definitely not. Gentlemen, before we go for a break, I would like to cast all of our minds back to 2018. It's a great year. I mean, speaking of World Cups, what a wonderful World Cup, one of the best World Cups we've witnessed.
Well, speaking of that specific World Cup.
Absolutely right, sir. Absolutely right. But also, though, around that time as we were approaching the World Cup, of course, it was towards the end of the season, awards were being dished out as they are. Who can forget, of course, that Manchester United's Player of the Season award went to Scott McTominay?
Yeah.
With, was it five appearances, I think, that season, something like that? And Jose Mourinho, he obviously made a good choice there. It's been revealed, though, that the organisers of Manchester United's end-of-year awards only got wind that he wanted a prize called the Jose Mourinho Player of the Season Award an hour and a half into the event. Into the event. Not even an hour and a half before the event. For those who remember this.
I like this because at this award ceremony, in his position as manager of the football club, Jose Mourinho's probably on some sort of stage.
Mm.
Yeah. So how does he communicate that to the team?
Mm.
I reckon he's got a scrap piece of paper and he's just written on it, Jose Mourinho, Player of the Season Award, ?
Yeah.
Handed it to someone.
Absolutely.
Well, and then the rough time, 2,200 hours. And then you're away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Job's a good one. So somebody was trying to find some sort of trophy, some sort of silver thing.
Well, good job they weren't at Spurs.
Very good.
Hey? Mm. Pete, that's good stuff.
Is it?
What
is it?
He's a Newcastle fan.
He's just not interested.
He's hurting as well.
He's not interested in my
Craig. You could have the Intertoto.
Exactly.
Play it.
There we are, you see.
So they had to go. But why don't they just go to the trophy cabinet and find something?
Well, it's a bit obvious if they handed him a Champions League trophy.
Yeah, it might overstate it a bit. Yeah.
That would be very Mourinho-esque, though. Yeah. They are. Well, the club, haven't deserved this, have they?
Yeah.
It's only relevant if you win it every year. In the end, all they could find, though, was a candlestick holder. So they gave him that.
Can't be true. Is that true?
Did they even get it? I mean, presumably they couldn't, don't they? They don't have an engraver on side, so they just sort of just with a Sharpie. Well,
I heard they were waxing lyrical about it.
Yeah, just drips of wax. It says Scott on it. There you go, Scott. I think that's kind of quite cultish.
I think cultish or cultish?
It's a
arguably both. Arguably both. What do the other people think's happening?
Is that in his house? Is he looking at that now? Now he's found out it's a candlestick.
Well, at least that's a practical use.
Placeholder, apparently. Placeholder. I guess it's the actual award was a bust of Jose Mourinho.
Nowadays, would he give him an NFT?
Yeah, he probably
yeah,
would.
Maybe, yeah, yeah, exactly. A picture of one they've just made up.
Maybe John Terry will do that in the future when he's manager, because he wants to be a manager.
Is it now time for John Terry's NFT corner with Pete Donovan? I don't think... At the risk of kind of alienating listeners who don't really know or care about NFTs, I don't think John Terry knows what they are.
No.
I still don't understand. It is what it is. What does it stand for?
Non-fungible token. We've gone through this
but we need to go through it again because it's basically just like an image on the internet which you can copy and paste.
Yeah.
But you
own the original of it.
Yeah.
So you could. But like for example, you can share a photo of the Mona Lisa all over the internet. It doesn't mean you own the Mona Lisa.
No, that's a bit... Come on. That's
would it be like owning the Mona Lisa and lending it to a gallery? You know, you are lending it to the internet, even though you own technically the picture. You don't own any of the IP, you don't own any of the residual rights, but someone said you own it and you've drawn a picture that you've made artificially rare and valuable in a world where it's quite disposable, I suppose.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You know more than John Terry does. And Whoever could have thought that John would fly a bit too close to the sun on this one.
Well, to be honest, I'm surprised that because I think I'm surprised that he was in front of someone like Michael Owen, and Michael Owen obviously went in big on crypto and literally anyone he has a meeting with, he goes, "Yeah, put my name on it, I'll do a video for it. Fantastic. Yeah. But John Terry.
But not a movie.
No.
I've got fun in a movie.
As long as it's no longer than 5 minutes, I'll watch that video.
Do you want to star in a film, Michael? It is a film about your life. I can't be arsed.
Can't be arsed. Yeah. But a lot's been said recently about the Bored Ape Yacht Club, one of the most famous and most moneyed NFT crypto. Some might say scam. they are obviously.
I think you're supposed to call it an unregulated financial
an unregulated
product.
Right, sorry.
Like, all the people who did like feng shui and all that, is this what they've got into now?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Look, I mean, pretty much every actor worth his salt or her salt is there. There's a lot being said this week about how Bored Ape Yacht Club. Mm. You know, a lot of dog whistles in the world of right wing, racist, fascistic stuff, I can't pin that on, and John Terry's product is obviously an offshoot of the Bored Ape Yacht Club. It's a lot of apes, isn't it? It's hard to pin that on him knowing that because I don't think he knows what an NFT is.
No.
So that side of things, I think his hands are nice and clean.
But that's not what he's got in trouble for. What allegedly has been?
Oh yeah, the IP
been,
of,
they're using imagery of copyrighted. Products essentially.
Yeah, it's but almost as if
the Premier League trophy, a UEFA badge, a Chelsea, but whatever I don't think it's been permission granted for that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so it's all murky. It's all problematic. It all started in a terrible place, it seems. and John Terry is very much the symptom.
let me sum it up for those who are maybe a bit confused by saying that I feel like maybe in a month or two's time, John will perhaps think this was all a lot more trouble than it was worth.
I don't know, man. They're making a lot of money.
I'd like to put in my...
He's got a lot of
he
money.
He signed
already.
Up Nigel de Jong as a club scout. It doesn't make any sense. Explain to me what you mean by that, both of you. Sit down now and explain to me what that means.
And if you can't, you have to give all your trophies back.
I think it's all a big shame.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Clash of the Titles is the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death as we decide which film does it better. And for the whole of January and February, we're taking film suggestions from you, our listeners.
But he said to me, I was putting on, and because we've done the social network, and he's like, why are you doing all these good films? And I said, oh, well, you know. And then I had to admit that other people pick them, not us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Join me, Alex Zane, with Chris Tilley and Vicky Crompton every Monday and Thursday. Search Clash of the Titles wherever you get your pods.
Hold up.
What a ball from Liam Pilsen. Oh my days, what a touch! Oh, what a golazo! Johnny! No! Where are you? Come on, man!
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. That was Alfonso Davies celebrating Canada's goal against Honduras last night.
He was loving it. He's also been playing a lot of Star Wars Lego, building Lego.
He has, yeah.
He's a very likeable man.
You like a bit of Lego, don't you?
I do. My wife's massive into it. Oh. Yeah, if you're listening. Lego.
Oh, yeah. She'd need to be very small.
It's expensive, Marcus. Don't look at me like that.
I know. She'd be very, she'd need to be very small to walk around it. No,
we built the whole Home Alone house over Christmas and she lives in it now.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, I wish Alfonso Davies all the best, by the way. Great player. And I know he's suffering from what's been reported as a COVID related heart issue, which is really sad.
Yeah. Oh, dear, oh dear. Right, everybody, it's time for emails.
Great to hear that jingle from someone who basically they don't want to listen, but they've got nothing else to do.
That's true.
We play it quite a lot.
Indeed, we do.
We got a message from Christian. Following the chat on Thursday's ramble about the Portuguese club Vitória Sanache's chairman installing himself as coach, I would like to direct your attention to the NHL's Lou Lamoriello. Oh, no, the I is not pronounced. So, Lamoriello.
Lamoriello, yeah.
From 1987 to 2015, he served
one of those after a dinner.
Yeah, Lamoriello, I think. He served as basically a Wenger type at the NHL's New Jersey Devils, ruling everything at the club. That included installing himself as interim head coach, not once, not twice, but three times, in 2005, 2007, and then in 2015 as a three-headed coaching monster, along with two former team legends. Side note, what Premier League team should install a three-headed coaching monster, and which coaches should it be?
Chelsea already do.
He ruled the Devils basically with an iron fist. Never mind ketchup in the cafeteria, long hair and facial hair for the players was banned, social media for the players was banned, and high squad numbers growing ever more common with the amount of numbers retired for some of the league's teams were banned. It worked though, as the team won three Stanley Cups under his watch. What are you complaining about then, guys?
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah,
a very tough man to negotiate with. It's been said not even time could get the best of him, as following his 28 days with the Devils he went on to the Toronto Maple Leafs and currently runs everything at the New York Islanders, all while turning 80 years old this October.
Wow, 28 years with one team and then moved on and still doing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Wenger will be back.
Yeah.
At some point.
How about that? Thanks very much for your email there. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble, you big old beauties. Right, gentlemen, no Premier League this weekend. There is some championship action, though. The championship just powers on. Powers on through it all. It never stops.
Yeah.
God bless it. Derby face Birmingham City at home. They're expected to welcome 30,000 fans for this game, of course, which would be a huge crowd. It'll smash their record attendance for this season. People still fearing it could be their last game. And I mean, I know the other day on the Ramble, yourself, Luke, and Kate, and Vish, I think it was, spoke very eloquently about the situation.
Thank you very much. That's kind of you.
Yes, it made up for all the other dross.
I disagree with that bit.
I jest, of course. Yeah. But yes, yeah, so there was good news yesterday, though. Derby's administrators have been given an extra month to provide proof of having sufficient funds to complete the season.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully that it won't be a case of just prolonging the agony and anguish, that something will something good will happen there, but we shall have to wait and see, of course. Reading are a side struggling this season. Obviously, they've not got the predicament of Derby, but they're not doing very well at all. Sitting 20th on 22 points, they face Queen's Park Rangers, who are going very well themselves, QPR.
Yeah. Red were on the end of it, on the wrong end of an extraordinary game last time out.
Yeah.
They lost 4-3 to Huddersfield. I think it was at home as well. And it was pretty much all the goals were scored, all but one of the goals were scored in the first half. And a great little bit of trivia is that Danny Ward scored a hat-trick for Huddersfield, who was the first player to score a hat-trick for Huddersfield since Danny Ward.
No way.
I think it was 7 years beforehand when he scored a hat-trick for them around 2013, 14, something like that. But he's been to Rotherham and Cardiff City and back to Huddersfield since then. Marvellous. And he's come back as the returning hat-trick hero.
There you are.
You can't do any hat-tricks without me. Yeah. I'm back to give you another one.
That's very impressive.
But Reading, obviously, were famously on the end of that absolute shellacking by your chaps. By Fulham.
Those fabulous Fulhams. And it's a big shame that Andy Carroll, who scored two goals, both disallowed in that game, has
both
left
good ones as well.
Yeah, I feel the second one, the goalkeeper, has just sort of let it go. But still, what a strike. He's having a medical at West Brom.
Yeah.
That is the acid test for Andy Carroll, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, the medical.
Yeah, so don't reach to the medical.
Didn't put any acid on us.
It's normally a formality. Yeah, it might not be. How long have you booked out?
Oh, poor Andy.
Yeah.
Poor
How long
Andy.
Have you booked the clinic for? It's like when I used to go in to get my hair cut up and I had really long hair. The hairdresser would be like, right, clear the diary for the afternoon. It's like, Andy's coming for a medical. It's going to take us 3 hours. What, for all of it? No, just that knee.
Yeah, DJ, yeah.
But when I saw West Brom at Craven Cottage earlier this season, I think I said it at the time, they were one of the most physical teams I've ever seen.
Well, get him in there.
I don't know if that's what they're going for. I haven't seen them much since. I know they're on a bit of a poor run at the moment. They're kind of losing touch, really. With the top two, but
so Big Andy will be welcome with open arms.
I don't want to be too simplistic about it, but I think if they do get him on board and they think, do you know what, it's a long old season, and by last 10-15 games we want someone who can really have an impact for the last 15 or 20 minutes, it could be a good squad signing.
Yeah,
I will caveat that by saying I haven't watched Andy Carroll that much recently, and that could be like a 2015 opinion.
Yes. He should have been, mate. He should have been. He's been wonderful. But Reading really wanted to keep hold of him, but he just, you know, they clearly couldn't afford him.
He didn't fancy it. Well, it's a bit of a funny old situation at Reading at the moment, to say the least. I mean, there were some incredible quotes from their striker, Mark McNulty, who's on loan at Dundee United.
Yeah, he spoke of Pompey.
Yeah,
he was quite good for them for a bit.
He's from Edinburgh. Originally. He started just 8 games for Reading since moving there in 2018, but his contract is up this summer. And he's on loan at Dundee United at the moment. And he said this about Reading Football Club: with all the shit that I've seen there over the years, I'm just glad it's going to be over and I don't have to go back down there. I would probably be more happy to be unemployed than going through all that shit again. Absolutely incredible.
It's good because it manages to be offensive in a number of different ways in quite a small space.
Absolutely. He said he'd rather be a cleaner for Dundee United than go back to Reading.
Nothing wrong with being a cleaner.
Absolutely not. Especially not an illustrious football club.
Important job. And there's nothing wrong with being unemployed either. And there is quite a lot wrong with Reading, but I won't go into that now.
So, important games in the Championship. The fellow strugglers, Hull, they host Swansea.
Sorry, Marcus, before you moved on,
yes,
I really want to say this now.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's 15 years in April since the Ramble started. One of the first controversies ever from the Ramble was to do with Reading. Do you remember? It was when they were in the Premier League, and Chris, who was on the show at the time, said, he said something like, they're not a proper club, and people only go there because they decide to turn left into Reading Football Club and go right into Carpet Right on the weekend. And people got angry about that.
Yeah, a person got angry about that.
Yeah, well, yeah. A large percentage of our listenership at the time got angry about that. And they might do now. I haven't heard that, again.
Might well do. Yeah, they're called the Royals, for crying out loud.
I know, yeah. And I don't even know if Carpet Right's still there.
No, indeed, yeah. Well, Hull City.
Bring back Chrissy Apples.
Yeah.
It was the other Chris.
Come along now.
Bring them both back.
Hull sacked.
Right on the Reddit.
There's been a sacking.
Mate, there's been a sacking. So get back in the fucking mode.
Sacking.
Yeah. Oh, Pete, there's been a sacking.
Do you mean like someone's kicked someone really hard in the balls like that match?
Emerson Royal.
A little bit different. I mean, maybe on the way out, that would have been a double whammy. But yeah, Hull sacked Grant McCann on Tuesday. Less than a week after the club was taken over by Asun Ilıkalı. I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it. He's been described as Turkey Simon Cowell.
Right.
Good God.
Well, there's a lot of work done.
Don't know.
Well, annoying how cheap that work is in Turkey. That's where people go for their tramp stamps, don't they?
That's true. Yeah. Salt Bay's from Turkey, isn't he?
I want to say yes.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. In other Turkish...
Wow.
The second best wow in celebrity chefdom after wow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Wow is what you say. We can't think of anything else to say.
Apparently, Hull, was it last night they hired former Rangers forward, Shota Avalatse?
I remember Avalatse, good player.
Yeah,
he was a good player. Yeah. He's been out of work since December 2020, his last job being in the Uzbekistan top flight.
I mean, it's a bit of a gamble given that, you know, Derby, who knows what's going to happen with Derby, but they are the team down there who are in good form. I know they were beaten by Forest last
time.
Right. And they, you know, if any team, basically Derby need to reel a team in, right, to get out of that relegation play. Hull haven't been, I mean, they've won the last two, but they haven't been great overall. They're still in a little bit of trouble. There's something of an air gap. but not much of one.
Yeah.
And if you've got this owner coming in who I know, I'll be honest, I know nothing about, it doesn't sound the most promising thing. But so it'll be interesting to see how it transpires.
I mean, they are 9 points above the relegation zone, Hull.
But there's still like 19 games left.
Yeah, well, this is the thing with the Championship. You know, the fixtures pile up, and if you have a nosedive, then you quite spectacularly go into the ground. But I mean, Derby, they've got 14 points. Reading are 21st, actually, on 22 points. But the thing is, you're right, with Derby, they've won four of their last six. Reading have lost five of their last six.
Yeah.
And Derby also have got a lot of goodwill from a lot of non-Forest fans, basically.
Do you think a team like Reading is far more likely to be dragged in than Hull, then?
Just going on the points, yeah, I mean, Hull have won their last couple, so there's been a bit of a something there, and a bit of an upturn. But I just think with Derby, the story and everything and the vibe, it's kind of like we are against the world, and it's clearly galvanised them, and Rooney's doing a great job. Whereas something like Reading, if you just start to drop, the whole vibe in the club is just a bit like, oh crap, what can we do to turn this round? Yeah. And it's very, very
get
difficult.
Get a new carpet.
Go to carpet, right.
Yeah. I'm just reading, because you remember Avalato, like, everyone thought he was going to be like the new Kinkladze, didn't they?
Like, he was like a really big deal for a while.
Just because he's from the same
country. He's Georgian. But I'm just reading his wiki. His wiki. Avalato joined Rangers from Ajax for £3 million in 2001. He was facing fierce competition for the starting place in the Rangers strike force from players like Torre Andriflo, Claudio Caniccia, Kenny Miller and Ronald De Boer. Like,
what
fuck,
a time.
Fucking hell, lads.
Yeah. It made me feel happy.
Absolutely.
Avalazzi's scoring record was incredible. He was a really, and I don't mean this to damn him with fake praise, but he was a really prolific goal scorer in the slightly weaker European league. So I remember he played in Greece, he played in Holland. He signed from Ajax, did you say?
Yeah.
And he was actually very successful in terms of goal scoring in Scotland as well.
He was.
I wish him all the best.
Exactly, yeah. Hmm. Maybe Newcastle should sign him now, Peter.
Aye.
Apparently, those Geordies are on the verge of signing Lyon midfielder Bruno Guimarães after a lot of twists and turns. And we've been talking about this for a few days now, I think. And of course, the report said that the agreement had been reached on Wednesday. He was about to undergo a medical. Then Lyon released a very strongly worded statement denying it all.
Saying we're skint, but we're not that skint.
Absolutely, yeah. Newcastle now tabled an increased offer, which reports suggest has been accepted. €40 million plus €8 million in add-ons. So we shall see. He said he described by one report as a deep-lying playmaker, and I thought, oh, someone who can actually sort of usher the ball in the right direction in the midfield. That would be quite something, wouldn't it?
Well, he's been in Ligue 1 for a few years now, a couple of years, two, three years.
Yeah. Well, he's been getting very good reports.
He took a little bit of time to get his head around that. Whether there'll be any adaptation to the Premier League, I don't know. But look, Guimarães he's going to quadruple his money, I think, at Newcastle. And Lyon are going to certainly double the money that spent on him a couple of years ago. So I think when Newcastle, everything sets a precedent when it comes to it comes to deals and stuff. Well, so that's why Lingard and players like that aren't coming in, because if they sort of set their stall and go, all right, we'll pay three times the amount of what we would be paying, everyone will want that. Everyone will want all the money up front rather than spread over the 5 or 6 years of the contract, et cetera. And it just makes everything very, very difficult for them, doesn't it?
Didn't Man United, so about the reason the Lingard thing may not happen is because Manchester United said they want £12 million for a loan fee. That's point number one. Point number two, my fear for Newcastle, my main fear at this point for Newcastle, because I have many, is that the deal took so long to go through.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have planned to have any kind of football decision makers in place, technical directors, football directors, directors of football, to help them do this. Yeah. And that, to me, should be the first thing they've done.
But that is a tradition at Newcastle United.
Far bit for me to...
Yeah. No, saying get your canary in. Is that what you're saying?
The Saudis don't want to get rid of all the local traditions. I mean, it is interesting, that deal, €40 million plus €8 million add-ons. The add-ons are always quite an interesting one. You say, well, certain national caps or all that kind of stuff. But it emerged last week, Newcastle had bid $29 million for Rem striker Hugo Ekiteke, and the deal was rejected. And this was because included in the bonuses and the add-ons, one of them was if he was to win the Champions League with Newcastle, I assume, Rem president said that. I mean, that's quasi impossible. so he's a bit like, okay, fine, add-ons, yeah, but like,
there's no point putting that in here.
Come on, yes, if he takes silly. Alan Shearer's Premier League record, then you get an extra $5 million.
Imagine if that was the whole bonus. Yeah, imagine if that was the whole bonus. Yeah. $9 million for that, and $1 million for like.
Well, that was good. Good $15 million bonus there. 261 Premier League goals I've got to score to get that.
Indeed, indeed. Gentlemen, also this weekend, we just mentioned the championship, we've got the AFCON quarterfinals, of course.
Yeah.
And the aforementioned the Gambia will be taking on Cameroon. Oh, yeah. Hello.
That's the first one, Saturday afternoon.
Saucy, very, very saucy.
Great weekend.
Now, who do you want to win that? Because it's always good for the host nation to kind of go through tournaments.
The Gambia, mate.
We Gambia.
It's the first tourney.
It is the story of the tourney.
Yeah.
That would be quite something, wouldn't it? Burkina Faso versus Tunisia.
The big one's Egypt-Morocco.
Egypt-Morocco. We don't want... Well, unless it's like 3-3, we don't want another penalty shootout, do we? We want it settled in 90.
That's got goalless. But
I think Morocco will take them.
I didn't enjoy Eric Bailly's penalty.
A lot of people... There was a lot of criticism about Eric Bailly's penalty, and I sort of think, well...
Very slow.
Yeah, it was a good save, though, from the keeper.
It kicked it very slowly.
Some penalties go
Marcus,
in when
kicked
kicked
it
slowly.
Very slowly.
Tell me out of 10 how slow you thought it was kicked.
Oh, I don't know, about 5 for penalties.
you've seen half the penalties you've seen have been slower than that. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not how that works.
Well, you take a broad brushstroke.
Right, fine, 2.
Thank you.
There we are.
Move on.
Uh-huh. Raheem Sterling's penalty against Iceland, that was the little tap, that was slower.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when they go in, I guess.
That went in.
Little
that
tap. In. Little tap. I love that you call it that. It's like a Happy Gilmore, little tap.
Egypt-Morocco is the sort of the glamour tie.
It's the big one.
It is the big one. See,
3 o'clock, that's going to be 31 degrees.
I do enjoy...
Cracking.
Oh my goodness. I do enjoy watching Morocco play because they play in the same colours as Portugal. I quite like that sort of unity there.
Oh, tell a lie. 34 degrees. Okay. Sorry.
That's just okay. The 34.
I don't even want to know what the real feel is.
What's 3 degrees between friends?
Exactly.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing at all. Mm. Nothing at all.
I can do Fahrenheit instantly from Celsius.
With Egypt playing.
Not interested.
Well, America.
American
the US,
things.
The US were playing in something like 28 Fahrenheit or something like that.
It was cold,
very, very cold, they've been playing. Yeah. Opposite in AFCON though, but Morocco. I'm looking forward.
That's
to...
That's -2, by the way.
Hakim, very good.
No worries.
Yakimi.
Yeah. There's lots of great players.
But not letting Egypt get away with stuffing the place out.
I know what you mean.
I'm sorry, not today, lads. Yeah. You're going to have to score some goals against us to go through.
Yeah.
Which is something we're looking forward to.
Would you like to see a Burkina Faso Equatorial Guinea final? Or a Gambia Equatorial Guinea final.
Yeah, I think
I'd like to see that.
I think it would.
Have they decided which stadium they're going to be playing in? Because obviously the Olympic Stadium.
It's been moved away from the stadium because that tragedy.
Is it going to return?
I'm not sure.
Well, Senegal were playing Equatorial Guinea, of course. And again, speaking of Egypt, sort of underwhelming, Senegal haven't done that much.
No.
If you think about it, you know, the previous round, it was 2 centers off, they didn't want 2-0.
They got past Cape Verde, had 2% off, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't know. Gambia's Ebrima Darboe, who plays for Roma, has been speaking out about Jose Mourinho's influence on his career.
Gave me a candlestick.
Absolutely.
Gave me a candlestick and it made me feel really happy.
He said he's helped me a lot with my character. Ooh.
Yeah.
I was such a good person.
I knew this, but this was going.
And he taught me that in football that you have to be nasty.
Yeah, very good.
He's turned me into a right old
nasty.
What I like about Jose Mourinho as a coach is he doesn't just give you tools to be a player. Mm. He gives you tools you can take throughout your life.
Isn't that incredible?
I used to be good, and now I'm nasty.
I tell you what, though, on a serious point, though, Darboe, actually, he made the journey across the Mediterranean to Italy on a refugee boat when he was 15.
Great story.
Isn't that incredible? Absolutely.
Well, Alfonso Davis's story, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah. Also, in African Cup of Nations, Vincent Aboubakar, who's been scoring a lot of goals. He's broken Samoletto's record for most goals in a single AFCON tournament for Cameroon. He's got 6. He could add to his tally, of course, this weekend. So it's all to play for there. Excellent stuff. Right, everybody! We've reached that time of the week where I press this button.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Marcus's game.
Me versus Pete.
Oh,
yeah.
The blind leading the blind.
It really is, and one has to say it's a big one down the bottom of the table.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought you could see my hands.
Sorry, I got ahead of myself there. Yeah. I didn't realise we were still recording. We're doing managers.
Okay.
It's Marcus's game, and it is Luke versus Peter. Peter.
What?
you've got pens and paper in front of you and you've just drawn a big old penis on
it. Big phallus.
So Pete's actually ranked lower than me with a 14.29% win average. So he gets to go first.
Pete gets to go first. Remember the rules of the managers. If they've managed a national side, that counts.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they've, and if they've been...
Don't give me half Renard.
If they've been interim manager, that counts. If they've been caretaker, that counts. But not assistant manager.
No, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Not under 21s or age cap. That
no goalkeeping coach, no defensive coach.
Absolutely. If they've managed an office, that doesn't count either. Okay.
Pete, you've played 7 and won 1.
I think that's not a bad... That's a Newcastle United.
I was about to say, is that a Newcastle tribute? Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, let's... So, Peter, you are to begin.
Okay.
This man has managed four teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kenny Dalglish.
Oh, dear.
Four teams, that's all. You can have a go, surely, here. Come on. Think about it. Don't write yourself off.
Okay.
This becomes like a therapy session for Pete.
I know.
Every single time.
I'm going to go for 3.
3! Good bid. Luke Moore. Oh. Do you have the fourth?
I'm not sure if I've got the fourth.
That's annoying, isn't it?
I'm not sure I've got the fourth. But the thing is, I don't know if Pete's got 3. This is how it gets.
Here we go.
I'll do all 4.
Are you going to?
Yeah.
Go on, lad.
All right. Well, Peter.
Go on, lad.
Peter, he's going all 4, so that's what we're going to do.
I want to see it.
Pete's dancers, Newcastle United. Won the Premier League with Blackburn Rovers. He's managed his beloved Liverpool. And I wonder if the fourth one is Celtic.
It's 1-0 Luke Moore.
Was Barnsley in deputy?
John Barnes did manage Celtic at one point with Jason McAteer.
Oh, it's just McAteer.
I think he might have played.
Funnily enough, it didn't go well.
No, yeah. That was one of the greatest exit interviews ever, where John Barnes was given an interview in the car park of Celtic, having been sacked. Down the barrel of Sky Sports News.
Oh.
And in the background, Jason McAteer is slowly loading a mountain bike into a car. And I hope someone out there can find that video. That's amazing.
Do you remember when they gave the man of the match a mountain bike?
Yeah. Used to give him all sorts of different prizes.
All sorts of different prizes.
Anyway.
Bring it back.
1-0 to Luke Moore. Luke, you're up next to start this one. This man has managed 8 teams. Your friend of mine, Slaven Bilic.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, tricky one.
Bloody hell.
Tricky one. There are answers there for you. There's goals in this one. Come on, Peter. Don't give me the face.
For those who want to put the tinfoil hat on and love a conspiracy theory,
yep.
Hello, Matt, if you're listening, my pen's just run out.
Oh!
Don't use my pen because I don't really use it.
Yeah, no, thanks. That's the spirit. I'll start off with 3.
You're going to go 3?
Yeah, I'll go
start
3.
Off with 3. Pete, can we hear 4 from you? Don't let him bully you.
Nah, I want to see Luke's 3. That's
Luke's
all right.
3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Luke, come on.
You sure you don't want to do 4?
No. Okay.
3 teams. He said start. You could have pushed him, and then he's going, I'll go for 5.
West Ham United. West Bromwich Albion. And Croatia.
It's 2-0 to Luke. 2-0 to Luke. Hadjic split.
Did he manage in... Oh, yeah, split, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Knows it now. Yeah.
Croatia, Lokomotiv Moscow, Besiktas, West Ham, Al Ittihad, West Bromwich Albion, Beijing Guan.
Glad I didn't say Zagreb. Either way,
I
was going to fuck it.
Peter, you're 2-0 down. You need this.
Look, you started friendly with me. Kenny Dalglish, obviously Newcastle manager, and I do appreciate that, but we moved off.
We did.
We pushed off the side of the pool.
Some might say we've moved back.
I wonder what the next one's going to be. The fucking algorithm's pissed.
Right, I don't decide this. Luke doesn't decide this. We don't write this.
No, it's nothing to do with us. No idea. Look at Speller.
I've not had a meet with anyone who said, can you make it easier for me?
No.
Because to be quite frank, even when it's easy for me, it's hard for me.
Sometimes when you do this, it sounds like you're protesting too much.
Right.
So just don't worry about it.
Right, okay. Anyway, look, Peter, as you say, algorithm, it could have been anyone.
It could have been anyone.
All right. What is it?
He's managed 5 teams.
Who is it? Who is it?
It's John Carver.
Oh, get fucked, Marcus.
Oh, I remember taking weeks to work this game out and see if it would be good on the show. This is what it's become. Fucking John Carver.
Look, nothing to do with me, is it? John Carver.
Who would have thought that algorithm?
Pete,
sometimes.
I'll give you a little tip. You can afford to go very low here.
I'm going to go for two.
I'll tell you what, I think that's the sweet spot, isn't it?
Name them.
Five teams this man's managed.
Oh, I saw him riding the bike with a carrier bag on each handlebar.
You did, yeah. You did.
Right, two teams that John Carver's managed, Peter. Come on.
Newcastle United.
Ooh.
I don't know about that, because he was in Greece recently, wasn't he? Huddersfield.
Has he managed Huddersfield?
Wait.
No.
Yeah!
Nuts. I thought he'd managed Huddersfield. What team had he managed?
Can I just say, Mark?
That I'm thinking of.
He was in Greece recently, wasn't he? Huddersfield.
What does that mean? People are baffled.
You've never had a Huddersfield cheese pie?
Oh, dear.
Dripping with oil.
Firstly, the way you said it sounded like he was in the musical Grease.
Yeah.
Secondly, you then made
with that hair, it would work.
You then made up that
Walla Walla.
Huddersfield was in Grease.
Yeah. Right, well, hang on, a bit of respect for John Carver's managerial career.
Oh yeah, laughing for 5 minutes.
Oldham, where did he manage?
Newcastle United, he started as caretaker. Right. Yeah. He then moved on to Leeds United as caretaker. Managed Toronto FC.
Right.
Managed Sheffield United as caretaker.
Sheffield.
Newcastle United, back there, caretaker. Newcastle United, interim. And number five, Omonia.
Which
Greece. I think is Cyprus.
Oh, Omonia Nicosia, it is in Cyprus, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
3-0.
Oh, well.
I enjoyed that, though. It was fun.
Yeah, well, we got two more.
Yeah, okay.
I want the whitewash.
Yeah. We got two lovely ones as well, actually. Okay. Luke, you're up first. He's managed 10 teams. Tony Pulis.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. You can have a bit of fun with this one, I think. You can go high. You can go very high, I think.
I'll go three.
Three?
Real.
You've won the game.
Real
have a bit of fun.
I think he was in Greece recently, Tony.
Come on, you can do more than three.
No, I want to hear three from Lucas.
He really wants a whitewash.
Yeah. He's not getting a whitewash.
Right, go for four.
Why?
Because you can do it.
I can't do it. He's not going to do five, is he?
He said three.
Yeah, but if I go four, he's not going to do five and I'll have to do four and I can't do four.
Let me do it.
All right. Go on, then.
Stoke. West Brom. Crystal Palace.
Disappointed.
Marcus is so upset that he will not think twice about ruining this whole thing for all the listeners.
Yeah, it takes me back to playing football with him. It takes me back because Marcus is very good at football. He gets so frustrated with me because he doesn't understand why I can't do the things he can do.
No, yeah. I don't get frustrated.
Beasley at Hartlepool.
I just stopped playing with you. AFC Bournemouth, Gillingham, Bristol City, Portsmouth, Stoke City, Plymouth Argyle, Stoke City again, Crystal Palace, West Bromwich Albion, Middlesbrough, Sheffield Wednesday.
He was at Portsmouth and he was not very good. It was before people started to think he was a good manager.
Absolutely right. Anyway, so it's 4-0 to Luke. You want to avoid the whitewash, Peter. You're up first.
Okay.
You are the England cricket team.
Mm-hmm. This man has managed seven teams. It's Joe Kinnear.
I mean...
Bellend.
The al...
What?
I need to revisit the algorithm.
You do, actually. Yeah, I think so. Come on. Seven teams, Joe Kinnear. Joey Kinnear. Joey K.
Joey K.
JK.
To his friends, yeah.
Big JK.
JK.
Your name Pete Donaldson. Careful. Right. How many of Joe Kinnear's seven teams can you name?
I'm surprised that he's done seven. That's a lot.
I actually think this is a hard one.
It is hard, yeah.
How many you got, Petey?
Being informed by one of the previous questions, I'm going to go for three. And he said one.
I think that's a very good bid.
I can't
actually
do four, so you can go three.
Here we go. Fuck. Pete Donaldson.
Shit.
Bear in mind, he has done a bit of work in Greece.
Yeah.
He played Kinnicky.
I'll give you a clue. He hasn't.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, mate.
Okay, go on then.
Wimbledon. Newcastle. Leeds.
Pardon?
Leeds.
Oh,
fuck it.
5-0.
I thought it was going to be like the one... Who were we talking about earlier on? Carver. Did it? Caretaker.
Started as all good sweary coaches
probably
do.
Millwall, isn't he? Probably did Millwall for a bit.
India.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's weird. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Then moved on to Nepal.
Huh.
Doncaster Rovers, Wimbledon, Luton Town, Nottingham Forest, Newcastle United.
Interesting.
Yeah. I did know that he was at Luton, but I completely forgot. I only had Wimbledon and Newcastle, P.
Yeah.
It's not very well at the moment, unfortunately.
There we are, everybody. My goodness. Well, that concludes Marcus's game. Another well-fought match, which the integrity of the competition was upheld.
I needed a win badly, so I don't even care.
No. That was Mourinho-esque stuff, that was.
Yeah. Where's my candlestick?
Oh, you'll get one, don't you worry. Don't you worry. There we are.
Pretty bum bum.
So, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's an absolute pleasure having you with us. Enjoy the Africa Cup of Nations this weekend. Enjoy the Championship and all the other leagues that are going on and tournaments and whatnot.
What was that?
And we will see
enjoy
you.
Enjoy the theatre of football, whatever it may be.
Is that a tribute to Meatloaf?
We'll see you on Monday. Thank you very much, Luke Ball.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you and farewell.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.